So anyway, ghosts and stuff. And here we are, coming to you from my haunted house tonight, yet again. Talking about ghosts, well, I haven't got onto the ghosts yet, but I will. I'll get there. Same as everything else, I like to talk. I'm a Scotsman, that's what we do. That's our gift to the world. We like to talk. When we talk more, worst thing about it is when we drink, we don't shut up. We just keep talking. I'd be here till doomsday if you want. Trust me, find something to talk about. I mean, here I am talking to an empty room here because basically I am, you know. But that's okay because I know you're out there probably. So, whiskey, Slanchivar. So let's crack on talking about ghosts. A couple of interesting things. And a bit of feedback anyway coming on my Twitter feeds, you know, DMs. Couple of things that occurred to me I wanted to talk about. So I said, you know, the American lady posted, oh, we don't have castles. We don't have castles in America. We can't talk about haunted castles and all that stuff. I said, okay, but you do have things going on, which are very interesting. Trust me. And I talked about this a wee bit in the last video about places here in it's just outside of Houston. I know one place, I couldn't remember the name of it last time, and can't believe it. Is it gone already? So I'm talking La Bahia, La Bahia. Is that how you say it? That's Goliad. Let me just double check that. I want to absolutely know what that is. Name of that place. Oops, again, keyboard. Goliad, Bahia. Oh, La Bahia Mission. La Bahia Mission. Goliad. No, and what that's interesting is that's where General Santa Anna had captured a lot of Texans. Oh, I'm not. I should try and get the numbers. Yeah. So, just how many Texans he'd captured as prisoners of war. Santa Anna was not a nice man. Well, yeah, the Presidio La Bahia. Correct me if I'm wrong, how you pronounce that? But it's a haunted place. It's haunted, and amazingly enough, you can go there and stay at bed and breakfast. That is, you know, you pay, you go, and they leave. They lock you in. They go away and leave you in there all night long. Apparently, it's a Spanish fort built in 1749, and is also the site of what became a famous massacre. But it's not a massacre and a battle, as we'll talk about in just a moment. Anyway, what's fascinating, as I say, is you can stay there. The people who look after it leave, and you stay bed and breakfast in an ensuite apartment, which opens to a private courtyard, which is how many ghosts have been sighted there. So Santa Anna had captured a lot of Texan soldiers. And he had them all executed. He marched them out of there and shot them all. It's an amazing place to visit if you ever go over there in Texas. And that to me, people talk about that to me, Luke, is most like a castle type thing you might find around here. But it says here it was built in 1721, and it was used to defend the coastal area in Eastern Province. Oh, this one here said La Bahia is a Spanish fort built in present-day Texas in 1749. So a little discrepancy on the dates there, but certainly in the 1700s. Very haunted place, apparently. I'm yet to do it. I visited it. I'm thinking now about going there, staying overnight, maybe doing a bit of ghost busting because that's an interesting place. But for people to say, "Oh, we don't have like castles and things around here," well, you do. You do. You just have to find them. Now, also other places here in Texas, like the Blue Ghost, the famous ship, that's very haunted. I've been on that too. It's very interesting. Yeah, so I wanted to say something about yeah, Southern ghosts generally this time before I got onto Scottish ghosts I've experienced. Now, last time I talked about the Delta Queen. The reason I want to talk about that again is because I have quite a resource of photographs and video that I collected there. I was thinking of creating a small documentary about it. You can see me doing a bit of ghost busting. Calling out the resident ghost, Mary B. Green. Although there are others, apparently. So, who knows. That's certainly one thing I want to do. But not just that. But also a plantation. You know, visited several plantations over the years. One plantation in particular. Was a very creepy place. I took a lot of video footage there. The Myrtles Plantation. The name of it. I took a lot of video footage. And a lot of photographs, which showed orbs. A lot of orbs in the photographs. Getting off the beaten track. You know, everyone goes through the touristy bits. But if you really get into the building. Oddly enough, I think you can do that as a bed and breakfast also. If you really get into the building, though. And look at things like the staircases. I found the staircase interesting because my photographs had a lot of orbs and it's a dark, sinister place. It looks sinister. It looks very sinister. So I thought, you know, there's got to be some things here. Well, there had been some sightings. I want to talk also about photographs. If you ever get access to a so-called haunted apartment or house or plantation like that. I was looking at some fascinating photographs, and this is from an acquaintance who does this kind of thing, and he takes photographs in the dark. In the dark. He shoots maybe 10 photographs in places where there's been sightings. And he looks back with his digital camera to see if it picked up anything, and occasionally he picks up some images. But so basically, the photographs themselves will appear perfectly normal and everyday because he's got flash on and he's taking 10 photographs rapid. And you can do this on a cheap digital camera, basically. SLR would be better, but, you know, there's no reason why you can't do that. Well, that's a form of ghost busting. And he's got actual figures, human figures, women standing. You can see a woman's shape. You can see a woman sitting, you can see a man striding all across the room. Things like that. Places where ghosts have been seen before. You can get real physical evidence. So I'm thinking of doing a small documentary on the Delta Queen. And another on the Myrtles Plantation. And the thing about the Myrtles Plantation is there's several ghosts. A very creepy place. I'll talk about that more, obviously, when I create the video. I'm going to have to write a script for it. It's that kind of thing. I'm not explaining what it is and where it is and how you can get there and what you might see, what you might experience. But the asides are more interesting. People who've lived in the house, what they tell you. Or people who used to live in the house and no longer live there because they just gave up on it. They decided it was just too much. And there was a young family there with the children. They would wake up and find your very young children already up. They'd been up for hours. Could children do that? Okay, I was terrible when I was a kid. I was up at 4 a.m. But their children would grow up and they would play with their friends. And their friends were, apparently, the ghosts who lived in the house. They referred to them as the babies. The babies. And when asked by the parents where the babies were, they would point to the lights. And they would even say they're there now. They seem to live around the chandeliers. And that became kind of overwhelming for the people who lived there, the parents. And they gave it a year or two, understand, and then they moved out. They just couldn't take it anymore. They were a bit worried about the long-term effects on the children. So that's interesting. This is children seeing ghosts. I'd be very happy to play with them. They called them the babies. And that was an interesting story. That's about the Myrtles Plantation. And we'll obviously cover some of that stuff. But I think the most interesting thing is the orbs that I've seen, certainly around the staircase. That staircase is very sinister. And of course, I made a point of filming and spending a lot of time around the chandelier in the dining room where the babies would often be seen. What is interesting is they will tell you that if you're wearing earrings, Chloe might try and steal them. There was a plantation in the south, and there was a lady worked there, lived there. Was she a slave? I don't know. Chloe, and she loved the earrings. And in the time when we were there, my wife lost, she could feel someone tugging at her earring. This is absolutely true, and I have it on video. I have a video of this, which is insane. We're saying Chloe is there now. She's there now, and she's trying to take my earring. Quite often, what would happen is she would steal your earrings, or you'd go back in and discover it's on the floor. And this is one of the strange legends of the house. We kind of experienced it. That's something to think about. One area, the south, the Myrtles Plantation. It's good to Google. You should Google it, see what you come up with. What the place is like. I have a great resource of photographs I took myself, some video. Same as the Delta Queen. When I'm on the Delta Queen, I had nothing like orbs or anything like I had at that plantation. I was a lot of orbs. But on the Delta Queen, just general eeriness. Late at night, when the whole boat has gone to sleep and you are going around that filming it, it's kind of eerie. A little frightening. A little frightening walking the decks of it. So let me move on anyway. I want to talk about some ghost situations and things that I've experienced or my friends have experienced back in Scotland. I grew up near Bedley Castle. Very, very old manor house. Some people call it Bedley Castle. We've always called it Bedley Manor, but when I try and Google it always comes up as Bedley Castle. I'm not sure. Well, it was a manor house in our opinion. But maybe. It was a bishopric. That is, a bishop lived in it, Bishop's Castle or whatever. Very interesting because there's another castle along the road from it, which is very close to where my parents live today. Just a little castle, and that to me was always never quite understood. I was always told that's where the bishop lived. Don't know. But Bedley Manor was quite different. Very, very old house. And that has a couple of ghosts in it. One is the bishop himself, the first bishop who was granted the place, and they found him in a local loch. Now, I've often wondered about this, and I think it might be the Bishop Loch. No one can say for sure. There are a couple of lochs around there, and the mining industry has obviously taken up some land. And I know a small loch, but there is a very, very small loch, very close. People have always said it's the Bishop Loch that he died in. They found him face down in the loch, and his ghost has haunted the place ever since. The Bishop's Loch, and I don't know about that because I know a closer loch. Very close to the house, and it's kind of that one's kind of off the beaten track. If you know the area, you will find it. And I didn't even know it was there. A few years ago, I was actually up looking for the apple trees. My parents used to go up to see my parents. There was apple trees up there. My parents used to like to go walk up there and pick the apples, and I went up to try and find these apple trees, and I couldn't find them. But when I crossed, I saw this little fence. They've got a special little turnstile gate and a sign telling you there is a loch there, and I thought, well, that's interesting because I've never seen this thing. This is quite a recent development the city had put there, so I thought, okay, I'm gonna go find that, have a look at this place. And it's quite a pretty little loch, and oddly enough, it's right practically on the edge of a housing development. They built houses there now, but it's at one site. But it's still, you can kind of picture it. And as the crow flies, I would estimate that's about a mile from Bedley Manor. I think that might have been the loch they found the bishop in, although centuries ago. Rather than Bishop's Loch, Bishop's Loch has its own stories. It's a different place. Totally different place. And quite a walk. And that, it always seemed odd to me when people always said to me, oh, these people cross Bishop's Loch to get to there, that Bedley Manor. And that doesn't quite, you know, it doesn't quite tally. You know what I mean? If you think about it in your head, you know, the geography of it doesn't really quite work. But the other place does. So I think maybe the story's a little bit wrong. But that's it anyway. So that was interesting. Now, he's one of the ghosts. He's a bearded man, and he's very not that pleasant, apparently. He stops about upstairs. Well, that's not the most freaky thing. The most freaky thing, me and my friend went there to try and experience it, is actually a stagecoach. There's the old Glasgow to Stirling Road at the back of the house. It's not that road anymore. It's like it's almost became a place you would walk. You know, you would stroll there. But and if you go there, you know, this apparently people have experienced a stagecoach riding up, and then a young girl steps out. And there's a scream. This is one of the legends of the place. So, did something happen there in the past century? I don't know. But I do know that when we were there, very dark. Very, very dark. And what we heard on that road was footsteps. Couldn't see anyone. I mean, it goes between there and Moody's Burn. But, you know, certainly we never saw anyone except ourselves. And we were kind of, you know, sitting there, if someone didn't know you were there, they would never have saw us. We were just kind of more or less footsteps walking down the road, single person. And because it was a former road, it's kind of shut off in bits now. It's just kind of ends, you know, and the footsteps just seem to go on, on and on, you know. So what that was, I don't know. That was our experience at that Bedley Manor. So a really nice place. To look at. You might want to Google Bedley Castle. Have a look at it. But that was our experience. So footsteps. On the old road. But what's interesting is you can get right up to the builder. What used to be there, it's not there anymore, was a mausoleum. A haunted mausoleum. And it was so haunted that the residents in the place couldn't handle it. They just could not handle that place. They had it removed to a graveyard. This is true. They actually had the mausoleum removed, the whole lot of it. With the graves and everything, it's just gone. The building's gone to a graveyard and obviously some other consecrated place, to get rid of it. Because there was a lot of sightings around there and bad experiences. And as a kid, I think I remember it. I can remember that building. Creepy, creepy place. It's Bedley Manor. So I wanted to talk about Waldorf rooms. This is real. You can visit castles, of course, in Scotland and manor houses and things like that. And they'll have all kinds of incredible things. They'll even have buildings with priest holes in it. Although I would say that's more common in England. But I've seen them. What a priest hole was when, you know, during the religious wars, particularly the roundheads and parliamentarians, that era, time of Oliver Cromwell, priests had to make themselves scarce. If the army came to the door, they could be secreted in the priest holes and places like that. And they are very, very... If you ever tried to go in one, someone might shut you in one. It's a horrible experience, I assure you. You go in and try it. Everybody wants to try it. Shut the door and see what it's like, what it must have felt like. And then you add to the terror that must have been in there, they must have experienced. Just waiting there, whether the soldiers are going to find them or whatever. But there's also this weird situation of Waldorf rooms. And I certainly came across some weird buildings. A weird castle, which is associated with my own family, had a Waldorf room in it, down by Dumfries. And somehow it was said that there was a white lady, and she was someone who had been walled up by some enraged lover in some past century. Oh, yeah, I want to talk. There's something else I want to talk about. That's just reminded me because I want to talk about channeling. That's interesting. Yeah, channeling. Yeah, because this is just, actually, I'm going to just put this on my list so I'll make sure I get to that. Something I was doing. A play that I wrote, or rather was channeled to me. I'll explain that to you. So there are a lot of situations where, people have been walled up in these old castles. For whatever reason, God knows what went on back then. I've certainly been in places that are so weird. I was in a place where the fireplace, you hear allegedly, I'd never heard it, that there would be a child crying late at night. There was a woman who was believed to be someone who had been hanged for witchcraft. And she haunted the building, made her appearances every now and again. Much the same kind of thing. Strange one, where some of these buildings, what becomes strange about them is that, a lot of work is done. Renovation work, or just people who still live in the building want to renovate it at some point, live in it, bring it up to modern specs, if you will. And the workers often find corpses in the walls and things like that, for past centuries, which gives some credence to the stories about the buildings. There was a place my grandpa used to go to. That supposedly had a nun, a haunted nun, haunted by a nun, ghostly nun, and there was a crying woman would be heard behind one of the walls in an old castle. And one time when he was a young man, he wasn't thinking. He was coming home from work or something, and he passed by two nuns. And it was a case of, like, they're walking towards him, and he stepped aside to let them pass. And once he had passed them, he felt it was just so odd. It suddenly dawned on him that they weren't exactly walking. They were kind of floating. Floating nuns. Now my wife laughs at this because she calls them the flying nuns, like the TV show. But I said flying nuns, and he looked back, and there's obviously no one there. There never is in these stories. And that's a funny thing. I want to talk about all these people that say they saw a ghost, and then they never tell you what happened next, do they? They'll say, "Oh, I saw a ghost," and then, "Yeah, oh my God," and then it disappeared. Just gone. But what happened between it, being there? Did it just vanish, or? The only thing I can honestly say is the people that say, "I looked away, I looked back, and it was gone," or "I moved on and came back, it was gone." That's a common story, mind you. But I don't quite get the story where things just vanish in front of you. Although I do know a person who experienced something in an old house, and he was walking through the corridors, and he actually he's like same kind of situation where he stepped aside to for someone walking towards him. This thing went past him. And it suddenly dawned on him there's no one in the building but himself, and he looked and it was gone. He stepped aside, and there was same kind of story. It seems to be a common one, that one. People stepping aside to let it pass. You're looking with the corner of your eye. You're not focused. Maybe you're concentrating on whatever you're doing or going somewhere. Certainly, people tell me that one. Talking about, walled off rooms. There's a weird one, and this is very strange. This one is kids notice things that adults don't. It's a fact. And there was an old church by a river. And a friend of a friend, he used to play soccer down there. I used to down there with his friends. And he used to look up at this building and notice the angel in the window. And that's what he would say, talk about the angel in the window, the angel. That was a church building. I don't know how it worked out. I don't know a lot about that building, to be honest. But he when he was a bit older, he got talking to the actual minister of the building. He was a new minister, a young man, and he said to him, "Oh yeah, I when I was a kid, I used to always look up at the angel in the window." And the minister said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he said, "The angel in the window. If you look up, there's an angel's face in the window." And they had a big debate on this angel in the window, and the minister said he was wrong. There's no such thing as the angel in the window. He suggests there is. He said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, good, I'll tell you where to stand. Just look up and you will see. And there's a statue. You see the face in the window. And sure enough, absolutely true. There was this thing in the window. You could see a statue's face through a top, a window way up high. And what he did was he, the minister, went all the way up into the attic, and he searched and he searched, and the conclusion he came to was that the whatever it was had been walled off. We don't know what that is. It's a walled off room. It's kind of interesting. It used to puzzle him. Now he's, you know, and he said if there's ever any renovation, he was desperate to get in that room, find out what the heck was going on and why there was this extra window, an extra window with an angel's face in it. There's nothing too creepy about that, I don't think. But then again, who knows, you know? And that was a building that had somehow belonged to the church. Not a church in and of itself. It was a strange thing. I don't understand the situation, but I certainly know the building he was talking about.